Morning, friends. So good to be together again, and I want to begin this morning by getting your feedback on some new kind of ministry ideas that we're thinking about here at Gospel Fellowship. Some of these are big church things, others of them I just need your opinion on some personal things that I'm thinking about. Is that okay if I run some things by you and you're going to give me some thumbs up and thumbs down, okay? First one is this. As you all know, if you know me, I'm a very busy person, right? I got a full busy family, got Visionary Family Ministries. I'm busy here at Gospel Fellowship. If you know Pastor Michael, you know Pastor Michael's a very busy person. He's got his growing family. He's got pharmacying. He's got seminarying. His plate is full. And so what we're thinking is that if you're here, a part of Gospel Fellowship, and you need some pastoral care, you need some counseling, you need someone to talk to, you need someone to pastor you, we'd like you to just open up the yellow pages. I know we don't use those anymore, but open up the yellow pages, go to churches, and have your name, your finger just fall down on one of them and dial that number and ask for the pastor at that church and ask if you could meet with the pastor for some pastoral care or counseling, because Michael and I are swamped. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down on the proposal. Help me out. Everybody vote. Wow, some of you are thumbs up. Well, that's bad. Okay. All right, but as a general rule, we got, all right, strike one on the new idea. This one is a little bit personal, so I just want you to give me some guidance in my own ministry as a pastor. Listen, this is hypothetical also, so this is forward thinking. Okay, I'm out walking through my neighborhood, and a few blocks away, there is a couple on their front porch having an argument. They're yelling at each other. Okay, no violence, but they're having a good old-fashioned fight on their front porch. And as a pastor, I feel some responsibility to insert myself and offer my assistance. So I walk up to the front porch. I introduce myself. I'm Pastor Reno from Gospel Fellowship Church. I can see you're obviously having a problem. Can I help you in any way? Now, the people at this point sort of politely, hopefully, decline and say, okay, sir, thank you, but, you know, you can stay out of our business. To which then I think the appropriate thing for me is to say, well, actually, no, I need to insist that you sit with me now. Or if you don't want to sit with me now, I need you to come into the office tomorrow and meet with me so we can sort this out. That's what I'm thinking. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Good idea, bad idea. All bad. Oh, it got Oliver. You keep giving me good ideas, man. Thanks. That's good. All right. Yeah, bad idea. Okay, strike two. Third plan. Third idea I want to run by you. One of my friends here in the community, actually former neighbors, Pastor Kelly Brady. Pastor Kelly pastors at Glen Ellen Bible Church, just up the road. He's a great guy and a great pastor. And so one of the things that I would like to do would be to start taking the tithes that are received here at Gospel Fellowship and begin to pay Pastor Brady's salary. Now, this is not supporting a missionary, and this is not Christian poverty care. This is just, we think he's great, and so we're going to take the money that you give and give a significant portion of it to him for his pastoral duties. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Not a vote on Pastor Kelly, just the idea of the money. Okay, I hope you're all thumbs up on Pastor Kelly. All right, strike three, right? Now, we all hear those things and you say, oh, come on, Rob, obviously you're being silly and I am being a bit facetious. But the reason why all of those things are just a little off, or there's an issue that they all connect to, and that's the issue we're going to talk about today, and that's the issue of church membership. It's the issue of church membership. Michael and I shouldn't send you up the road for pastoring. That's our job. I can't walk up to my neighbor and insist on them meeting with me. I don't really have the right, do I? I don't really have the authority in their life to do that. And as far as paying the pastor down the road, that's the responsibility of that congregation, isn't it, to support their own pastor. So this is such an important issue. We're going to take a break from our series in the book of Acts, and we're going to do sort of a standalone message on this idea of church membership. The idea of church membership is, I think, becoming, or has become, kind of unpopular today. It seems a little old school, a little old fashioned. I don't know. I wonder if some people feel a bit less like joining a club or, you know, joining a charitable organization. And so a lot of people will say, look, I'm totally committed to my church. What's the point of being a member? And I, as you know, with Visionary Family Ministries, every other weekend during the school year, I'm traveling and I'm in different churches around the country. And you find a lot of churches that will say, you say, oh, well, tell me about your church. Well, we have 3,000 members at our church. Well, tell me about a typical Sunday. Well, a typical Sunday is about 200 people here. That's a frequent thing that churches say. Thousands of members on the rolls and a couple hundred attending. And you also have churches that they say, you know, we have about 100 members, but a typical Sunday is about 500. Or a typical Sunday is about 400. 400, not visitors, 400 regular folks. They're always coming, but about 100 are members. And I think both those scenarios are an indication that church membership is either undervalued or not understood. Now, why a whole sermon on this? Well, it really came out of some conversations that came a couple of months ago. As a church plant, we are kind of starting from scratch, and so writing our constitution, writing our statement of faith. And when we wrote our first draft of the constitution back in the spring and the summer, we passed that constitution around to those that were regularly attending the church. We want some feedback. We want some input on what we're proposing here. And so we would go through these different sections with our statement of faith and the roles of elders and the roles of deacons. And as you know, we're a sufficiency of scripture church, which means that whatever patterns we find in the Bible, that's what we want to try to do here. So if we can't find the pattern in the Bible, then we're not going to do it here. So going through this document, there was, again, statement of faith, all these scriptures, roles of elders, all these scriptures, roles of deacons, all these scriptures, communion, baptism, preaching, all these things. And then it got to the church membership section. And multiple people in the church came back to Michael and I and said, hey, there's not a single reference to the Bible in your church membership section. Is church membership even biblical? Now, Michael and I at that point were like, this is awesome. They really get it. This is the best thing that's ever happened, because they're not going to let the pastor get away with anything that they can't demonstrate clearly from Scripture, right? You should never let your pastor get away with anything that they can't demonstrate clearly from Scripture. So, because of the need to talk about this, and really the question on the table today that I want to address, is the idea of church membership biblical? That's the question. That's what we're going to try to wrestle with. So, before I get there, let me set some foundations. You got your little outline there that I gave you? First thing that I want to do is I need to clarify something, because if you don't get this, on this issue of church membership, you can really get into big conflict about the conversation. You got to know which church you're talking about. When you use the word church, there's two ways to use the word church. There's capital C church and there's little c church. Capital C church, when you use the word the Church of Jesus Christ, capital C, what that means is the church universal. That means all the believers who have ever lived and who are alive today. We are all considered the church, capital C, the body of Christ, capital B. But there's also little c church. And usually when I talk about little c church, I call it the local church. So yes, there's the capital C church, all believers, all places. But there's also little churches, Gospel Fellowship Church, First Baptist Church, Glen Ellen Bible Church. So this question today of is church membership biblical, which church do you think we're talking about? Membership in capital C church or membership in little c church? Little c church. Very good. Now, just quick local church 101. Hopefully this is redundant for most of you, but it's really important. Local churches, the whole idea of local churches was established by God in the New Testament. So a group of people in a particular town repent and trust Christ, and those particular people in that particular town then start meeting every Lord's Day, which was Sunday, every Lord's Day, the Resurrection Day, for worship. Paul says to Pastor Timothy in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, the first thing you have to do in all of these little c churches is you have to appoint two or more pastor elders. Two or more pastor elders need to serve in each one of these churches. So they met each Lord's Day, each Sunday, which became the Christian Sabbath, by the way. The Jews have Sabbath on Saturday, but because of Christ's resurrection from the dead, the early Christians' Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday, the first day of the week. They met for worship. They met for prayer. They met for singing. They met for the preaching of the Bible, and they met to eat. Sound familiar? Okay, that's what we are trying to do here. And then the writers of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, reminds us that Christians are going to face a temptation. Christians are going to face a temptation, and that temptation is going to be to neglect meeting together. That some believers are tempted to neglect meeting together week after week for that time of worship and fellowship. Do you think that that temptation is still happening today? Absolutely. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews says some Christians 2,000 years ago have fallen into the habit of not participating in their local church. So that more often than not, they're not there. And it's less frequent than they are. So question of the day, is church membership biblical? Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews is almost at the end of your Bible, toward the end of the New Testament. It is totally okay to use your index at the front of your Bible. Sometimes Hebrews is a little tricky to find. As you're flipping there, you are not going to find the phrase church membership in your Bible. You are not going to find a command, thou shalt join your local church, in the Bible. But there are some clear principles and there are some clear patterns that I want to show you this morning, which I believe that support the idea that choosing to be in a covenant relationship with a particular local church is biblical. And it's the way the early Christians did it. So you've got your outline. Let me read you these first two principles, and then I want to expand on them from Hebrews 13. You got your first 2 points. You're following me in your outline. First point one is elders, pastors are called to shepherd a particular flock. Point two, believers are called to submit to or be shepherded by particular elders and pastors. You got that? And these 2 points really go together. I can't separate them because, in fact, the texts I'm going to show you teach both doctrines side by side. So pastors, you got a particular group of people, you got a pastor. People, you got a particular group of pastors who are going to pastor you. Let me show you this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey your, now this is speaking to the church now, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as though who will have to give an account. Let them, now that's the leaders now, let the leaders do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So Christians says, obey your leaders and submit to them. And here in this text, if we went back a few verses earlier, I could show you in the context that we're talking about pastors in the church, talking about the leaders who teach you the word of God. So obey your leaders. Now, who are your leaders, the ones keeping watch over your souls? They'll give an account for you. See, again, here's this principle that believers in a particular church looked to particular pastors and elders for spiritual leadership and spiritual guidance. And those particular pastors and elders are responsible before God. They have to give an account to God of, am I shepherding the particular flock, the particular people that you've given us? So again, I have Christian neighbors where I live. Christian neighbors. They attend churches all different places. Am I pastorally responsible to shepherd those Christian neighbors? I'm not. Now, as a brother in Christ, am I responsible? Am I called to love them, care for them, and in opportunities that God gives me? Yeah, as their brother in Christ, I am. But that is a spiritual opportunity to bless a brother and sister in Christ, not a spiritual responsibility to pastor them. So in the same way, you turn your TV on. The TV preacher is on. Okay? TV preacher tells you, he says, God told me to tell you to do this and this. And you're like, I don't know if I ought to do that and that. I'm not sure that seems quite right. Or TV preacher says, preaches some doctrine that you don't think is biblical. How do you respond to that? You're watching TV preacher. TV preacher says something a little off. What do you do? How do you handle that? What's that? Okay. Jeff says, change the channel. You're a very hard-hearted man. Yeah. But basically what Jeff is going to do is he's going to say, okay, that guy's got that view. I understand that. But and maybe he doesn't process it exactly like this. But long story, you would say, that person doesn't really have spiritual authority over me to instruct me, to shepherd me. I'll take that with a grain of salt and process it. But when your pastor, when you go to church and week after week, your pastor is saying things that are off base, saying things that are unbiblical, now we've got a totally different situation, don't we? Because you can't just say, ah, well, that's that guy. That's fine for him. Because God calls particular people to be shepherded by particular pastors and particular pastors to pastor particular people. Can you say that with me? Did you get it? No, okay. All right. Point three. I need to show you one more text in this. Oh, no, wait a minute. I jumped ahead. I'm sorry. Hang on. There we go. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 5. Sorry, I got a little jumbled there. 1 Peter chapter 5. You are really close, if you are in the book of Hebrews, to the books of 1 and 2 Peter. So don't go too far away. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to find the exact same principle in that text. In fact, it was read for us a few moments ago. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. It says, so I exhort the elders among you. Now remember, in the New Testament, elder, pastor, shepherd, overseer, all the same thing. All the same office, if you will. Got it? Shepherd, pastor, elder, overseer. All the same thing. So here, that's why at Gospel Fellowship we oftentimes call Michael and I pastor elders, because we're just trying to be clear about the New Testament model. It says, so I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. You see that? Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. I am not a pastor at large. Right? I'm not a pastor just for whoever may be out there that lives near me or comes to a conference I do. I'm a pastor for the flock that God's given me. Verse 2 continues, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. For not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Pastors ought to eagerly pastor. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. In other words, you who perhaps are spiritually younger here, be subject to your elder pastors. So can you see these two principles tied together again? Pastors, pastor the flock, particular people that God's given you, particular people, be pastored by and submit to the leadership of the pastors. The next verse, really interesting, I didn't see it till this week. The next verse is oftentimes just pulled right out of its context here. This is a verse that's going to be very familiar to you. You have heard this before. But I've never seen it before in its context. This next verse is a summary verse for how pastors and their flock should relate to each other. Look at verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, God just got done saying, okay, pastors, you do this. Okay, congregation members, you do this. Right? This is how you relate to each other. Now, clothe yourselves, all of you. Pastor, make sure you're clothed with humility toward everybody. Congregation members, be clothed with humility toward one another. Point three. Believers are called to build loving, supportive, accountable relationships within a specific local church. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew's the first book of your New Testament. New Testament starts about two-thirds of the way into your big Bible there. Matthew chapter 18. While you're flipping there, the broad teaching on this point, and it would take us months to go through these texts, but the broad teaching on this point is that the New Testament is filled with passages that are called the one another passages. Love one another. Care for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Okay? Encourage one another. Those are all the one another passages of the New Testament, and they speak to how Christians in the local church should get along with each other. This text in Matthew 18 is not directly perhaps a one another passage, but it's about how Christians should deal with conflict. You probably heard it before. Verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. So someone hurts your feelings, someone wrongs you, someone sins against you. Jesus says, go directly to that person in private and share your heart with them. Share what happened, share how you are hurt. If they listen to you, they say, "Boy, I'm so sorry. I feel really bad. I did that. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." You've won your brother. Verse 16. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established on the evidence of two or three witnesses. So the person doesn't listen. You care enough about the relationship to ask another person or two to go with you to help reconcile the relationship. But what if that conversation goes badly? Verse 17. This is our point now. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. So the question is, what's the church? What does this mean? Tell it to what church? I would suggest, based on the other passages that deal with these sorts of issues, that it refers, tell it to the elders and pastors in your church. Go to your elders and pastors for help. That's the next appropriate step. It can't just mean, because we have to ask the question, is this tell it to the church capital C or tell it to the church small c? That's the question. It can't mean tell it to the church capital C. That's like post it on Facebook. Let me tell you what this person did to me. That would be tell it to the church capital C. It just can't mean that. It also just can't mean the church down the road, right? It can't mean that you've got a problem with the person sitting next to you and you call the pastor or the elders of the church down the road and you say, I need you to help sort a problem out for it. It would make no sense at all for it to mean that. So again, what I'm trying to show you is that the pattern in the New Testament is particular people in covenant relationships with each other, with particular shepherds in a particular local church. And the next phrase, if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, you've confronted the person on their sin. They say, I don't give a rip. I'm glad I did what I did. You bring some other friends and they say, I still don't give a rip. I'm glad I did what I did. You bring your pastor's elders in. The person says, I still don't give a rip. I didn't do anything wrong. In other words, they are an unrepentant sinner. They've been confronted over and over and over again. The Bible then says, well, you know what the elders need to do? The elders need to say, dear sir, dear ma'am, you can no longer be a part of our fellowship until you repent and make this right. Now, again, if you get excluded from a local church, there has to be a local church to get excluded from. There has to be a particular group of people that you would like to be a part of, and that particular group of people with those particular believers and those particular leaders are saying no. Now, one of the reasons why, back in the day when more churches practiced these biblical principles, the idea of losing your membership in a church was terrifying. It was terrifying because this was your support network. This was your trust network. And that's the way I want to show you this now in point four. Believers within a specific local church are called to meet each other's needs. Believers in covenant relationship in a local church meeting each other's needs. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now you're going back to the right again, back toward Hebrews and 1 Peter where you were before. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In that chapter, you find instructions for how a local church is to care for the poor within the church. And in keeping with the other scriptures, you find the teaching is that the first people you need to take care of are your family members. If you have any immediate family that are in true financial need and you don't care for those immediate family members, 1 Timothy 5 says you're worse than an unbeliever. The text here also talks about, and I don't have time, it would be a whole sermon of itself, that when there are widows in the church and they need to be provided for, well, that's the job of their siblings if the widow has siblings, and it's also the job of their children if the widow has children. But if the widow has no siblings that'll care for them, if the widow has no children that'll care for them, then it's the job of that particular local congregation to care for the widow and to provide for her needs. So they actually had a list of widows. Okay, the list of widows were the widows that were fully supported by the church, which is a principle we're totally committed to here at Gospel Fellowship. So look at verse 16, 1 Timothy 5:16. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. If there's no membership, if you will. And by membership, I mean an intentional covenant commitment to a local body. What that would mean then, if there was a widow 100 miles away who didn't have a family to care for them, then somehow we'd be responsible 100 miles over here to be sending money over there. If we're talking big church, capital C, but that's not the way the early church functioned. Each local church was responsible for the care and the shepherding within their congregations. Now, as we've talked about before, sometimes a whole church couldn't provide for the widows, so other churches would send money to that church so that they could provide for the widows in the church. And again, this is why, up until about 100 years ago, the idea of losing your membership in your church was terrifying. Because everybody understood that your church was the last line of defense protecting you in this very dangerous world. Your first line of defense was your family and your friends. But if they all fell apart, you had your church that would shelter you, that would clothe you, that would support you. So the idea of losing membership, and what it created is it created great motivation for holy living. Great motivation for holy living. Because if you weren't living holy, if you were an unrepentant sin, your church would, the old-fashioned word was, excommunicate you, which means you can't fellowship with us anymore. And today, by and large, I think that this New Testament pattern, these New Testament examples of being in covenant relationship with your local church, has by and large fell by the wayside. Because what happens now, you can be an attender at a church for 10 years. And this is not every church, please hear me. There are some situations where a person can attend a church for 10 years, and on a given Sunday, they can walk in, sit down for the service, be there for all service, and leave without a single soul talking to them. Without a single soul greeting them, without a single opportunity for friendship or connection. Or a person can be attending every single week for 10 years, and then all of a sudden they move, they leave, they stop going for whatever reason. And there's not a single phone call, there's not a single email, there's not a single knock at the door. Hey, we missed you, where have you been? We have really lost, friends, much of the way the early church functioned. And you need to know, those of you that have been a part of Gospel Fellowship, those of you maybe that are considering, that we believe God calls us to an extraordinary, covenant, committed, intentional, willful relationship with each other under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So in the next few days, the next few weeks, we are going to be rolling out membership. What does it mean to become a member here at Gospel Fellowship Church? And I want to talk with you about just a few of those things practically as I conclude. So first of all, membership is available for those that have repented of their sins and trusted Christ and who have been baptized. You won't find any example in the New Testament of a person who has not repented and trusted Christ, a person who has not been baptized, becoming a member of a church. People are not going to join into the life and death mission community of the Church of God if they haven't first been converted and saved. We're not talking about joining a club. We're not talking about joining a social organization or a charity here. It's not Rotary or Lions Club. It's the Bride of Christ. Now, our process begins by affirming a person's salvation through our pastor spending time with them. Now, for a lot of you, you've been with us for months or years. That process has already happened. Okay? Now, we're not going to be sitting down with Rob Sweets, who led us in worship today, and say, Rob, I want to talk to you about whether you're saved. Okay? I know Rob already. We've already got our relationship has already borne that out. But that definitely would be the case for new people God brings to us. And another part of that conversation is talking about, well, are you coming from another church? And have you left that church well? Why are you leaving that other church? Was there a major doctrinal reason that caused you to leave that other church? Have you met with those elders? Have you met with those pastors to share with them the calling that you sense God putting on your life to transfer your membership? I know that's old school talk, right? To move from being a committed life and death member of this church to being a committed life and death member of that church. Again, part of what I'm trying to stress to you today is that joining a church is a big deal. And if joining a church is a big deal, leaving a church is a big deal, never to be done lightly. So from there, through either personal meetings or group teaching, we're going to walk through our statement of faith. Our statement of faith, which is our doctrinal statement. Here are the things that Gospel Fellowship we believe. The most essential ingredient to a particular local church is unified doctrine. The most essential ingredient to the success of a local church is unified doctrine, that we share the same beliefs, because that's why we're together. There would be no other reason to be together if we didn't share the same beliefs. This is a major emphasis. Again, it's a whole sermon in and of itself. It's a major emphasis in the New Testament. Guard the doctrine. Guard the doctrine. Be unified in the doctrine. One of the things that you're going to find, I'm going to encourage you when you leave today to pick up our church constitution, our statement of faith, our church covenant. Those are all over there. You're going to find that our statement of faith here may be a little different than other churches. Our statement of faith is 10 pages, not one page. It's kind of long. It's a little detailed at some points, because we are so convinced that unity around the core doctrines of the Christian faith is essential for the mission that God's called us to do. And no one has to join, right? No one is required or compelled to change their beliefs. Nobody's got a gun to their head to enter into covenant relationship in this particular local church. There may be another wonderful, godly local church that is more in line with your doctrinal convictions, and God's calling you to align yourself there. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is okay. We're going to give you that today. After that process, after we've taught through the doctrinal statement, the elders then are going to share with the church the names of the people that have desired membership. Okay? So, maybe that's a handout, that's an email. Here are the folks that are prospective members. They have gone through this process and they want to join the church. And so if any of you who have been with us from the beginning, or you've been a part of the founding team, or the in the future existing members, if any of you have any concerns about any of these folks who want to join, please confidentially come and share that with the elders. They're, whoa, what? We're getting a little crazy here, aren't we? Well, why would we do that? Well, not because we're high and mighty, or we think that we've got it all together, or let's see if you're good enough to join the club. Anybody who's a member of this church knows that we are all deeply struggling as we're following Christ. But the New Testament says that there are going to be wolves dressed as sheep's clothing that are going to try to get into your church. Guaranteed. And so we are aware of that. And there's a lot of people that look great on the outside, but very, very different on the inside. And so we're going to do our due diligence, right? Before we lock arms in life and death covenant with someone, we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure they're not a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because we take seriously the bride of Christ, we take seriously the local church, and we take very seriously who we're going to lock arms with. Again, this isn't judgmental, this isn't critical, but this is honest and this is real. And then, those who are entering into membership, our process is going to be that they will, as a part of our worship service, and all of us will do this, those that have even been with us from the beginning. I'll be joining the church since we haven't had membership yet. I can't wait to do it. But we're going to read our membership covenant to the church by way of affirming. And again, it's not three lines. It's about a page. I think it's going to take about 5 minutes. And let me tell you what is in the membership covenant. It's over there. You're going to take it with you. What the membership covenant is simply an affirmation of all the things God already tells you to do. So on there, it's with God's help, I'm going to love my brothers and sisters in Christ at this church. With God's help, I'm going to submit to the elders and pastors at this church. With God's help, I'm going to prioritize ministering to my family, honoring my parents, loving my siblings, discipling my children. So there's nothing legalistic in there. It's just all the different things that God tells us to do, and we're going to affirm that. So a lot of people will say at this point, well, Rob, come on. Why do I have to do the get up in front? Why do I have to read this thing? Why all the ceremony? Why all the pomp and circumstance? I mean, can't I just say, look, I'm totally committed to this church. I want to enter life and death covenant relationship. I completely submit to the elders here. I'm totally committed to giving. I want to do all the things God says for me to do. I'm all in at Gospel Fellowship. Why do I have to do the thing? Well, the little speech you just gave is the covenant. You just joined the church. You just said all the things out of your mouth that the covenant says. Now, you used your own words for it. Do you see? There's no difference. Joining a church, in a sense, what it ought to be is making something that's invisible visible. It's affirming something that's already there. It's simply an external affirmation of an internal choice you've already made. I am all in with this church's doctrine. I am all in with the one another commands of the New Testament. I am all in with these particular pastors and elders and these particular people. Does that make sense? Okay. The other thing that you're going to find a little bit different here at Gospel Fellowship is that attending every week forever without becoming a member is not really going to be an option. After X number of months, X number of years, we do not have some timeline on this, okay? But after X number of months, X number of years, Pastor Michael or I, and we're going to say, hey, you've been here every week for a really long time. Are you ready to join in covenant relationship and make what appears to be invisible visible? So attending for 10 years without membership, because Michael and I believe that God wants you to be a member in a local church. He may not want you to be a member in this local church, that's fine. But we want you to be a member in a local church. Now we're also not talking about, there may be people, you are in covenant, life and death relationship with the church down the road, and you just like coming to Gospel Fellowship every now and then. You come to men's ministry or women's ministry, you come to worship because you just like everybody, or you like food. That's your thing. That's great. Welcome. That's no problem. What Michael and I are concerned with is, are you in covenant relationship with a particular local church? And I can't wait in the coming weeks ahead to be leading my family into entering this covenant relationship with many, many of you. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray as we continue worship together. Heavenly Father, you created this. You created this thing we call church. I believe you created Gospel Fellowship Church. I believe it was your will for this church to form. It's your will that your children gather together every Lord's Day to worship you, to read your word, to sing to you, to receive the preaching of your word, to fellowship and eat together. And it's not about how old we are or how much money we have or where we came from or how dark our skin is, but We're all one thing. We're children of God brought together for a purpose to worship you, submit to your word in everything, love each other, support each other through thick and thin, and to join together to build your kingdom in this world. I pray, God, for the future of this church, that you would be the head of the church and that you would lead us, every single one of us, into the future that you have for us to serve you and be faithful to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.